This is Artworks, the weekly podcast from the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Josephine Reed. With the new school year upon us, this week we're turning our attention to arts education and its valuable contribution to students' creativity and well-being. Later on in the show, a look at arts education in practice with Taos artist and educator Agnes Chavez. But first, I'm joined by Director of Arts Education at the National Endowment for the Arts, Ayanna Hudson. I wanted to begin with Ayanna because the work and research, both here at the endowment and nationwide, brings welcome news that the arts and arts education can play a singular role for students as they transition back into the classroom after a year of uncertainty.
We are really coming off of an unprecedented school year due to COVID and the forced virtual instruction that students had to learn through, as well as the forced social isolation. And any one of these situations would cause trauma and traumatic experience for students, but all three combined is really, really unprecedented.
And as students are heading back to school, I mean, that really is going to be an attendant with its own anxiety, and they're going to need a lot of support.
I couldn't agree more. You know, as schools prepare for students to return to in-person instruction, we really have to provide support for students to help them deal with the collective trauma that they've all been through over the last year, year and a half. And we really must focus on their well-being and on their healing.
Well, as we know, the research is there that the arts, arts education, arts integration in a classroom is amazingly helpful at supporting students' well-being.
And Joe, we know from our own research at the National Endowment for the Arts just how important arts education is to a student's academic success, to increase graduation rates, to increase standardized test scores, as well as civic engagement. But I also want to talk a little bit about the role of arts education on a student's mental well-being, because that really, especially at this moment in time, that cannot be underscored enough. And it's really through the process of creating art, whether it's dance, music, theater, visual arts, media arts, it's through the process that students are able to express themselves. They're able to get in touch with their emotions and their feelings, really in a way that they may not even be able to articulate. And this is especially true for our younger learners who may not even be able to form the words to express how they are feeling. And for any student, even if they're not able to express verbally, it is through the arts that they can truly, truly express themselves and express their feelings.
Obviously, we're all aware that the arts provide a creative outlet for students. It also supports students' well-being. But I think the fact that the arts also can help students develop empathy and compassion is less known and can fly under the radar and is so critically important right now.
And that's why the arts are so critical, so key, and really the magic ingredient in general for schools, but especially as students are returning from a year, of virtual learning and forced social isolation. And, you know, it's through the arts where students are expressing themselves that they're able to cope and they're able to develop mechanisms for their own personal healing. And when we think about what students have been through, they're really able through the arts to process in a new way the trauma of the last year, which leads, of course, then to their overall mental wellness. And this is critically important because students can't learn if they're anxious, if they're fearful, or if they're stressed. And it's through the arts, as you just mentioned, where students really learn empathy for themselves to, again, process the trauma that they've been through over the last year and a half, and then develop empathy for others as well as they are supportive of their classmates as we all re-engage with in-person instruction. And the arts really are, I believe, the tool that all schools should be using as a way to help students experience success, to help them to heal, to help them re-engage in learning and in-person instruction for many of our students for the first time in a year and a half. But the other kind of magical thing about the arts is that it also helps students to reconnect with themselves. And for the last year and a half, where students have been focused on, again, the trauma that we've been going through, it is also through the arts where we can not only heal, but we can reconnect and we can find joy in life again, and we can find joy in our educational experiences.
I think the other thing that's so critical right now about the arts and arts education is that for the past year and a half, students were on Zoom. It's hard not to be a passive learner when you're on Zoom. I mean, all props to the teachers who I'm sure did absolutely everything they could.
Yes.
But when you're involved with the arts, with any creative process, you can't be passive. You're actively engaged.
You're actively engaged, and you are also actively engaged in the community. And I think when we think about re-engaging with yourself and re-engaging with your classmates, also re-engaging with your school community, the arts definitely provide the opportunity, as you said, to be an active participant. And through that active participation, re-engaging with your classmates, your teachers, and your school in entirely new ways, in ways that you haven't been able to do for the last year and a half.
And that's the joy you were referring to.
And that's the joy. And that's the joy.
Ayanna, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
That was Ayanna Hudson. She's the Director of Arts Education here at the National Endowment for the Arts. Go to arts.gov and search for arts education. You'll find a number of helpful resources. I'll also provide some links in the show notes for you. Next up, we're going to hear from Agnes Chavez about some of the extraordinary ways the arts can be used in a classroom to open up new worlds for students. You're listening to Artworks. I'm Josephine Reed. Agnes Chavez is a Psy artist and an award-winning educator in Taos, New Mexico. Now, this needs a little unpacking, beginning with Psy art, which Agnes defines simply as art that's created in collaboration with scientists or that explores science as a topic or as a process. In her case, she collaborates across disciplines to create data-visualized light and sound installations. Agnes is also an arts educator. In fact, for her, arts and education go hand in hand. Back in 2009, having already designed a successful curriculum that teaches Spanish to youngsters through art, music, and games, Agnes was looking for new ways to reach middle and high school students. Not surprisingly, she decided to use the arts to develop science and math skills. The result is STEM Arts Lab, which designs and creates light and sound installations and then builds curriculum tools around the art. STEM Arts Lab also brings artists into the classroom to work with teachers and provide hands-on workshops, both in person and virtually. As it turns out, Agnes was able to evolve this innovative curriculum to directly speak to the students' needs during this last pandemic year. And that's exactly where I began my conversation with Agnes Chavez. You both create curriculum that uses the arts to develop science skills, and you make that available for teachers to use in their classrooms. And you also run workshops yourself. So you work directly with students. And I'm curious about this past year when students were learning virtually and whether you developed some programs to really help students who were going through such a difficult time.
Yes, that has led to really interesting developments for the STEM Arts Lab, because I had developed an online curriculum tool back in 2012, but it wasn't used as much as it's being used now. And so the online curriculum tool is where I put the content that the teachers use, whether they're participating in an art workshop or going to a festival to experience the art at a festival. There's always this online tool that has all the background information about the artist and about the science behind the art and the engineering that goes into it. All of that content is always there. So with COVID, this tool became really valuable, more valuable than it was before. And the other thing that happened is through just a personal story that happened to me. So one thing about STEM arts workshops and arts education in general is that we can teach the same students over time. I've been working with the same group of students from fourth grade through eighth grade. They were graduating this year, and I've been bringing this my programs to the school, projecting particles, the Lakota Cosmology Project, basically learning about the physics, particle physics, through projection art. And then, of course, COVID hits. So in response to the isolation that students were experiencing from the lockdown and this switch to online learning and with field trips being canceled, we created BioSTEAM International, a virtual international exchange program. And it connected a classroom in New Mexico with a classroom in Portugal to collaborate on a SciArt installation that is then presented at local and international festivals. The goal is to encourage intercultural respect, connectivity, to develop creative expression and scientific literacy as students collaborate on a SciArt installation called Space Messengers.
Okay, explain the project Space Messengers. I'm really intrigued.
Space Messengers is a large-scale projection where the messages and voices collected from the youth participants are live mixed and projected along with their video silhouettes onto buildings to create an immersive and interactive experience for the audience. So it was created in partnership with longtime collaborator Marcus Doninger and his team of projection artists, and along with a team of programmers and sound engineers. We designed a collaborative platform we call the Spaceboard, where students shared ideas and their process drawings, which were actually created through the workshop. And the students co-wrote messages that communicated the science they learned and their thoughts and wishes for a sustainable interplanetary future. That was the goal of the workshop. And then these messages are going to be seen floating on the wall along with interactive video silhouettes that are generated from all the images and videos that are captured from the workshop. And then to enhance the experience, an interactive soundtrack will respond to visual triggers, filling the space with collected space and planetary sounds from the NASA library, as well as water and earth sounds. And the voices of the students will be interwoven to accentuate the visual of their floating space messages.
This is happening virtually. Is it also happening in a geographic space? How does it work?
So when the projection launches in Oeiras, Portugal, for the Festival Internacional de Ciência, we are coordinating a global virtual reality day in Taos County. So on the same day, October 15th, while the projection is happening in Portugal, in Taos, we are coordinating participating schools to set up virtual reality stations. And then our creative team has created a virtual reality 3D simulation of the site in Portugal, where we're going to simultaneously live stream the projection into the virtual reality platform. So the students here will be able to, at the same time, experience the Space Messengers. And it will be, the virtual reality will also be interactive. They can send those space messages, which appear on the wall in Portugal, as well as on their virtual wall. So we basically created a hybrid physical online experience so that the kids in both countries can experience the installation at the same time. The final Space Messengers installation is participatory. As people will walk through the courtyard site, there are sensor cameras that are going to capture their silhouettes, which are then also seen projected onto the walls, but they're filled with a mosaic of all the student-generated content. And the live audience can also send their own messages, which appear on the wall in real time during the event.
This seems wonderful and complicated. And I wonder how much the students were involved in the planning of it, the implementation of it.
So the whole concept and the Space Messengers installation was developed with the students. So they were part of the whole process and all its iterations. And then what was most exciting is that the kids were meeting each other from different countries, and they were doing this project together. So art was the process through which we learned and we created together.
I know the culmination of the project hasn't happened yet. That's in October, but I'm curious about the feedback you've gotten from the students and from the teachers.
It turned out to be like a winning formula. It turned out to be so successful that the teachers told me that the kids had been hiding in their bedrooms and not showing up for their Zoom calls, and they were always muted and their cameras were off, or you just see the top of their heads. And this program, they just came out of their shells and really connected with each other and with the programs. So that was a real experiment that was in response to the problem that I was hearing from teachers, that the kids were not engaged, that shifting to this online format was just not working. And my question to myself and to my team was, how can we use our creativity, our digital tools to come up with another way or a more engaging way to reach them? And of course, the messaging is always to develop empathy and to empower them. So we're asking always that question as we design digital tools.
Well, I would think, especially now, both of those things, empathy, yes, but also to feel empowered. I think during this time when all of us can feel so much out of control with everything that's going on, that combination of science and art makes a really powerful tool for students, not just to perhaps be empowered themselves, but also to be able to, you know, kind of express their own uncertainty about things. And by doing that, own some control over them.
Yeah, we did notice that happened through this project, the Space Messengers, and they were learning about science and art, philosophy, Lakota cosmology, all of these complex ideas, but always asking the question, what are your thoughts and wishes for a sustainable interplanetary future? And so it very much stayed focused that this is your future, you know, and now everything that you're learning here is to help you to think about ways that you can make this work for you, how can you make it better? Always bringing it back to, you are the youth leaders, you are the leaders of the future. So we're now giving them all of this knowledge, then we're bringing it all together in an interdisciplinary way. And it seems to really reach them and make them feel empowered, make them feel like they're valued. And that seems to make all the difference.
And of course, using the arts to both understand and explain scientific knowledge is key.
Yeah, that's right. The model is that we use the arts, meaning new media arts, to understand the science and to communicate the science. So the first part is through the workshop or through the art learning, we actually learn from the scientists, and then it's communicated through some kind of sci-art installation or experience at a festival or real world event. So that whole picture, how that all fits together, that's the STEM arts model that I've been developing over the years. And now with COVID has a whole new level of implementation with the virtual component.
As you say, this particular project was developed during COVID, and I'm wondering what your plans are for carrying this work forward. I assume you're going to continue to use it as students are heading back into a classroom.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, what's interesting is that I'm so excited about working with them, and I feel like we started something during COVID that is just continuing. And it is COVID responsive. You know, I didn't say, okay, I'm doing this temporarily and now I'm going back to the way it was. On the contrary. So we're just continuing this project called Space Messengers, which has all these components that I described, right? This methodology. And so now what happens is that those students who were part of that workshop, now they're waiting for the culmination, which was delayed because of COVID. It was supposed to happen in April, and now it's going to happen in October, when we're going to launch the first SciArt installation. The kids in Portugal and the kids here have been waiting for this. And so we're excited because project is going to come to completion, but also it's going to travel. So now the consulate of Guadalajara, Mexico, wants to bring it to Mexico to a school there. So in February and March of 2022, we're now doing it again with six more schools. So everyone's very excited to see where, you know, to try out all these new tools and these new ways of learning and communicating.
An integrated arts curriculum, especially one like yours, where you're using art to learn about science, sounds like it just opens up new worlds for students and also really gives them an outlet to be able to express their own knowledge in ways that really work for them. It's giving them an outlet that, especially right now, they so badly need.
Well, not only is it that they need it, but what I hear from the students is they didn't even know it was possible. So they're used to arts being in the arts class or like isolated within a particular subject area called arts. But what they tell me is that they never knew it was possible to combine, you know, science and philosophy and all of these different things together with art. So it is a different experience when they see it coming together in an interdisciplinary way. It blows their minds and it does open their minds. And it's what I hear from them, that it really opened their minds to what is possible.
You know, Agnes, as we're transitioning back to schools, it seems that arts education is really uniquely positioned to be extraordinarily helpful to students as they're sort of facing this anxiety and coming out of being in lockdown for a year.
Yes. And because of the lockdown, but also in general, we're living in this really extraordinary time where science and technology can often overshadow the art, right? So the STEM or the science and technology and all the advancements are very important to learn and to communicate, to understand, just to expand our own understanding of the universe and, you know, on Earth and now in space. But I think why the arts are so important and new media arts are so important is because this is a medium where we can really go deeper into what are the ethics behind the science and technology, what are the impacts of it, and to raise awareness to the importance of these issues that are coming up. I mean, I feel like the goal of STEM Arts Lab is to use the power of immersive art to inspire our youth, but also our communities, and to become just more informed global citizens. And to reimagine our humanity, because that's what the arts can do better than anything else, is to let you imagine and reimagine what we can be, you know, in light of what's going on in the world with climate change and all of these challenges that we face. You know, how can we reimagine our humanity?
And so it provides students not just with the place where they can explore their concerns, it also offers them a place where they can begin to think about what they can do next.
Absolutely. They learn from the very beginning that that's why we're here, is to design new solutions or to imagine alternative futures. So one of the things that I'm getting into now that I'm learning about and sharing with the students is the idea of futures thinking, that there's not just one future that's destined. Now we are creating the future of tomorrow, and that they are part of that building and part of that imagining.
How does STEM Arts Lab develop curriculum that speaks to the very diverse cultural backgrounds in Taos?
Well, that is what created that STEM Arts Lab, because I've been in Taos for 35 years. I came here when I was 27. And the first thing you know when you become a member of the Taos community is that you live in a very multicultural community, and there, New Mexico in general is a very poor state. And so access to knowledge, to technology, just even the isolation of Taos compared to Santa Fe or Albuquerque, all these factors make a difference. They impact the ability to access. And so you're always, as an artist, trying to find ways to overcome that, right? Or as a teacher, you know, how do we get our kids to have access? So that really is what created a lot of the methodologies that I developed out of necessity, right? So this has been my community for 35 years. There are some strategies that I use, and it's out of trial and error. So when I first started, I would try like maybe after school programs, right? So just to start there, one of the things that I came up against is that after school programs require, in most cases, that the parent bring the student. And so then you have a barrier, which is the parent working? Which parents are going to be able to bring their kids, right? And so if you have parents that are not able to because they're working all the time, then that student's going to be not going to have access. So then I started to work within the school classroom time period. And then I had to adapt the curriculum and align it with the standards and make it easy for the teacher. Because otherwise what happened is, oh, well, the teachers don't have time to do something extra because they have to teach their core curriculum. And that's when I eventually aligned the STEM arts programs to the standards. So they're now aligned to the next generation's science standards, to the, of course, the National Core Arts Standards, and to the Partnership for 21st Century P21 standards. So that makes it easier for the teacher. And slowly I developed this thing called the STEM Arts Curriculum Tool, which has all of the tools and resources that the teacher needs so that it's super, super easy for them to participate and make it part of their classroom curriculum. So I always make sure that my programs are coming to schools that do represent the communities that I serve. And they're more like core principles, right? So I don't bring my program to privileged schools or schools where the kids already have access to all the latest technology and science. I bring it to schools that don't necessarily have that access.
You also have a commitment to turning students from being sort of passive recipients of media to being actual cultural producers of it. And again, after a year of lockdown, this strikes me as particularly important for students.
Right. And that is something that I bring into the STEM Arts Lab program. So the students have access to these technologies so that they can tell their own stories. For example, the current project Space Messengers, they're actually sharing their messages that they want to send out to the world. And that doesn't have a lot of technology, but it's still the same concept. They're telling their story. So they send, each of them writes their messages that get compiled and that gets projected. So yeah, I would say that that is a product of our times. And it's one of the most exciting things that we have at our fingertips right now is that we really can allow our youth and our communities to really be contributors to the content that's on the web or that's just out there.
In listening to you, it seems to me that if students are involved in passive learning, asking them to do it via Zoom is the kiss of death. But when it becomes interactive, it can be in a classroom, it can be in Zoom. If it involves imagination and creativity, students become engaged. And especially when they can speak to what it is they see around them. And I'm thinking of your program BioSTEAM, which very specifically speaks to 21st century challenges that kids face.
Yeah, that's right. And BioSTEAM is a program that also was developed during COVID, focusing on climate change and how do we get kids engaged in using arts to learn about climate change and now pandemic diseases or whatever is going on in the world, and how to use the arts to design with nature. So if you're using new technologies, it's not just about blindly using any technology and not understanding the ethics behind it or the environmental impact of the technology. So all of the STEM arts workshops address all those aspects of technology and science, not just sugar-coated. And that engages them because they want to think beyond just the surface.
We tend to see art as really having the ability to heal. And I'm curious how mindful you are of that as we're approaching this new school year and the big transition that's coming for students.
Yeah. During COVID, we had to be attentive to that because there was a lot of depression and anxiety and all kinds of, you know, even suicide that was going on. So there had to be a lot of sensitivity to that. So what I do to address that is I have very, very close collaborative relationships with the teachers. I never pretend to come in and know it all. The contrary. The relationship that I have with the teachers is integral. I consider them collaborating partners. But we're the support. You know, we're there to support the schools and the teachers. And that's always been my approach. And I think that's really important because I think sometimes if you just pop in and pop out, it just doesn't work. And they know it. I'm committed year after year after year. And sometimes I feel like something didn't work. Then I go and talk to them about it. How do we make it better? And then every time we make it better and we work together. So I'm just with my team, we're always looking for the latest technologies so that we can be engaging our youth and our communities through this art.
you are innovative, wonderful artist. How did you become interested in arts education and bringing this into the classroom?
Yeah, I think I've always been equally interested in art and education. And they were never really separate for me, because art has always been about a way to inspire people, right? To communicate ideas, to inform, right? And education is also about that. To me, it's like art and science and art and education, they're all one for me. And I've always been interested in sharing what it is I'm learning, sharing it with other people. And that process of learning, the learning process, is part of my art. So for example, I do a lot of research for my art. I go and do science residencies at laboratories like at CERN, where I did a research day to learn about particle physics to inspire and inform the work. And then I developed the workshop called Projecting Particles. And I remember the first workshop I did, and I said to the kids, okay, I'm learning about particle physics because I think it's very important to understand the universe through particle physics, and we're all going to learn together, I tell them, you know? And so that's kind of how I approach it. I do that with the teachers as well, where I tell them I'm exploring something new and I'd like to share it with you. So I like this process. I consider it all integral. And I've always done that. Like what I tell the kids, how can we design with nature and build a better world?
Oh, Agnes, thank you for your work.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on your show.
That was artist and educator Agnes Chavez. You can find out more about the work she does and take a look at some curriculum tools at stemartslab.com. Agnes also contributed an essay to the NEA's Tech as Art report called How Artists Can Bridge the Digital Divide. You can find it at arts.gov. You've been listening to Artworks, produced at the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Josephine Reed. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.